portion of the PSC to order. And we don't have anything on the any consent items on the admin hearing. But discussion matters, we have a few things. And the first of them are changes to the standards for evaluation of revegetation success and recommended procedures. And I'll turn that over to Jonathan to, or, okay.
Do you want me to introduce myself or anything, or
just state your name on the record?
Warren Swenson. So the changes, I'm sure you've all seen the big stack of papers that we have in front of you. A lot of papers, not that many changes in effect. The largest of two changes, we are adding or proposing to add the risk management agency. And that risk management agency is under the umbrella of the USDA. And we're adding this agency as a source of cropland yield data, county cropland yield data, that our mine operators currently use. The county yield data for creating standards for bond release applications. To put it, you know, in the most simple terms, right now our current source of that information is from the North Dakota Agricultural Statistics Service, and they have not been consistently producing data for our mine operators to use. And so right now, specifically in Mercer County, in the last 10 years, our wheat data has not been consistently provided. I think there's maybe 2 or 3 years in the last 10. So that does limit the opportunities for bond release that our mine operators have. And now, what really started this change was in McLean County, where our Falkirk mine is located. They did not receive yield data in 2023. And then in 2024, there's absolutely no data being published. So we are completely, with the way our current standards are sitting, we are completely taking away an avenue of bond release for our mines. Going back to the risk management agency, this is the agency that does crop insurance. Federal crop insurance, and they're required, the farmers that use federal crop insurance are required to produce their yields to the risk management agency, and in turn they have to produce that data after statistical analysis. They have to turn that data over to the public for anybody to look at, and so we feel as though this data is very reliable to use, and go over that a lot more in our memorandum to you guys. In that regard, and of course, if there's any questions, happy to answer on that side. But I will quickly mention on our native grassland and tame pastureland side, we're changing a couple of the tables to reflect current data produced by the USDA, the Natural Resource Conservation Service, in their field office technical guide. And then also we are adding reference to, so I guess let me back up. The NRCS updates the data pretty periodically every few years, and it's kind of tough for us to keep up with that in our revegetation guidelines. So now we are providing reference in our reveg guidelines to say reference the field office technical guide for the most up-to-date information so we can stay on top of it. Yes.
I need clarification.
Yes, sorry.
No.
So when you were talking about this yield data, not current, and helping with the release, what are you using right now? What were you using to bond release if you didn't have current data? Was it just delayed till you got it? Or help me understand what your practices were.
Yeah, thank you for the question. So currently, yes, a lot of times the mines would have to wait. There is another avenue using specifically for cropland to use a control area. There's a lot of our minds have in the last, I would say, 10 to 15 years kind of gone away from that control area due to new farming practices. And so we require our control areas and our reclaimed areas to be farmed in the same way in effect. And that becomes more difficult when our farmer cooperators in the mines are using new techniques that may not be used in our control areas. And this data that was being published or has been published by the North Dakota Agricultural Statistics Service has just provided a consistent data for years up until about 10 years ago when Mercer County kind of fell off publishing a lot. And maybe I can back up a little bit more and provide a little bit more context to it. The North Dakota Ag Statistics Service, the way they report their yields is by voluntary farmer reports. So if you're a farmer and you register with the Farm Service Agency, a lot of times you may or may not get a letter in the mail saying, hey, what did you plant and how much did you yield on those? There's no requirement to do it. And in the privacy landscape we now live in, a lot of farmers don't want to give up their data on a voluntary basis. But like I mentioned, the Risk Management Agency is involuntary reporting. They need to do this. Our Risk Management Agency also, they're responsible for investigating crop insurance fraud. So they're looking at this data constantly, making sure that it's accurate and up to date. So that's why we feel as though it is a good data source.
I believe the USDA is a good source, but is the data they're getting, like you made a comment, the farmers don't have to submit it. So how are they getting valid information to compare? Or are you saying it's just more information there, more valid?
So I guess I apologize. Maybe I don't understand exactly what you're saying, but split it up into two. Our North Dakota Ag Statistics, that is voluntary, right? And that data we've agreed in our revegetation guidelines since the beginning, as far as I know, to agree that that data is valid. Statistically, you know, our average county cropland data. And, you know, they're both under the umbrella of the USDA, both Ag Statistics and the Risk Management Agency. So does that clarify it? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
It does.
I think one thing that I think would further clarify it, traditionally, I think the Ag Statistics Service was, and I don't think anyone is criticizing them. It's just that the producers are not turning in the information. And it used to be, it was considered reliable because so many turned it in, and each one was a little smaller than what farmers are nowadays. And so if someone was dishonest, it would just kind of balance out and be pretty much unrecognizable. But now the farms are much bigger, fewer people, I'd say a smaller percentage is even willing to turn it in voluntarily. And so there's so few responses in the sample that we can't really rely on it for bond release anymore. Correct?
Absolutely, yeah. And they, you know, with to continue on that, with less people reporting, you know, even if they meet the minimum qualifications to report that data, statistically it's going to be less valid. You know, if you have 1,000 people reporting versus 500, right, I'm going to trust the data source that has 1,000 participants rather than less participants, which then a person who's maybe dishonest about reporting it, that would skew the data more. But they do have to meet minimum qualifications for them to report the data, and that's why we're missing so many years.
And Warren, just to clarify, we're not necessarily like replacing ND Ag Statistics with the Risk Management Agency, right? We're just adding.
Correct.
So yep. if you know, this ND Ag Statistics does become available in the future, we could still, if we chose to, use it as a data source, right? We're not replacing, we're just adding.
Absolutely,
an
yeah.
additional source.
Yep.
Okay.
If the mines would like to use the North Dakota Agricultural Statistics Service for their, you know, on just a general cropland side, they have to use it for, they have to have 2 years of data. They would be allowed to use the Ag Statistics Service for those 2 years, or mm-hmm. they could use the Risk Management Agency for those 2 years.
So what kind of action are you really looking for at this point?
So right now what we'd be looking for is to send an official request for comments to the industry, Lignite Energy Council, and any other interested parties. And then after we'd receive those, make any changes, if there are any, to what we've put in front of you, and then go for an official action, I believe.
Do you just kind of need our general consent, or are you looking for a motion?
Yeah, we just need your general consent to send this out for comment.
I'm favorable to it.
Agreed.
So am I. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I
thought you would read this, and then we...
Lunchtime is only an hour.
I have time.
Okay, and at least, Jonathan, I need you to stay, because I need to add a scheduling thing regarding Falkirk, please.
Thanks, Warren.
The next thing, yeah, thank you. Is the jurisdictional determination regarding Otter Tail Power, and I'll turn that over to Brian.
Thank you. I think you guys have had a chance to look at this, but so Otter Tail is purchasing Abercrombie Solar Project, which we were down in Wahpeton siting, and they requested jurisdictional determination to see if they needed to apply for a CPCN. And I understand the request and they're seeking clarification, but after looking at it, section 490301 states that a public utility must obtain a CPCN before constructing or operating a public utility plant or system. Law defines an electric public utility as a privately owned supplier of electricity serving the general public, and they are recognized as such under North Dakota law, so they are subject to its privileges and obligations. So, you know, despite the understanding the request, I think that that they do need to obtain a CPCN before constructing and operating the plant. So if you guys are okay with it, I will send them the letter with our determination.
I have no legal argument.
As tempting as that setup is, no, I don't either.
Okay. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay, I will send that out. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian.
Thank you. Then we get to the hard part, scheduling. But Chris made it a little easier. The first one is withdrawn. Way to go, Sherry. So that brings up Badger Wind siting application. And Rob, if you'll update us on what we need or where we're at with that.
Thank you, Commissioners. This is pertaining to Badger Wind's request for waiver requirement to install their light mitigating technology system. So this filing came in. Essentially, this was just weird enough I wanted to bring it to all three of you right now. The way that the law is written right now, it's going to – at first I thought this would just go to either a work session or informal. But according to the way it's written, a public hearing is going to be needed for this until August 1st. So this is probably going to be the last one you see of this. And then from there on out, best practice would probably be to do an informal for these types of things. So essentially this filing is just looking at there's 9 turbines that are by the airport that FAA has recommended or has said that you can't put the ADLS on it. And so we'll have to have a public hearing hashing that out. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. I can still go through scheduling through emails and see what your availability is after this is noticed. However, we'd have it here in Bismarck. I just wanted to point a clarification and then as far as we'd probably only need a half a day hearing on this, and normally that's a portfolio holder question, but I wanted to throw that in here too. So I just want to make sure I can just try to schedule a 4-hour hearing, either in the morning.
Mike. Have you looked at any dates? I mean,
well, I've received Orsted. The company can make any time happen, they said, and the only point is with their legal representation to make sure they're available too. So, I mean, we could go through the process of throwing out dates right now, but I can also just email and schedule and see when you guys are available too. So I know you're eager to look at your calendars, but
look at, we're all eager.
I know. This was just different enough. I wanted to make sure that you understood why it's going to hearing.
Like scheduling, we can do outside of the public meeting process. And so I would be fine with you getting some dates when it will work for the company and their witnesses.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And narrow it down and bring a few options around and
right. Okay.
Look at our calendars.
Great. I just wanted to confirm those things and make you aware of what the situation was, just because it was weird. So thank you.
And then I need to add one. Something came up relatively recently. Falkirk, and I'm going to be watching Jonathan and Warren to see if I'm explaining this wrong, maybe, but I think there's about a half section of land that they have now gotten easements on and would like to add to their permit, something on that order. But anyway, probably not real complex. However, the notice time allows until May 19th for comment. So assuming that there will be no comment, and I just will say that I think that's a pretty safe assumption. Anytime starting May 20th, we could approve this, and they would like to, you know, plan for this process. However, either at the last meeting or at least a recent meeting, we moved our hearing date from the 21st back to the 19th, which means now that is the last day at which we can't take this up. And so rather than holding them off 2 more weeks, I'm wondering if we could find a short time to have a special meeting to discuss this. And of course, then it would be canceled if comments come in and a hearing is requested or something like that. So I'm looking at some time for maybe probably a half hour hearing, but I suppose we should leave an hour. Anytime starting May 20th.
First time I'm out the 20th, 21st, and 22nd. I'm at at the Department of Energy. So I have the 23rd.
The earlier the better for me, but we'll make the 23rd work. Because what time works for you guys?
7 a.m.
That's hard for staff. Let's do 9.
You're just always looking out for them, aren't you?
I wonder why. 9.
Does 9?
9 o'clock works fine.
Okay, so 9 a.m. I scrolled away from May 23rd, right?
Really, I used to say that for Julie, just to get a response.
Okay. That it is. Anything else?
Did you want to do breakfast? Natural resource?
Oh, yes.
Breakfast?
Yes.
How was it yesterday, by the way?
I was so disappointed. Nobody showed up.
Quiet?
A group of natural resources related agencies, some appointed, some elected. Typically get together and have breakfast and just visit on the first Wednesday of every month at 7 a.m. And in order to not have it, you know, be the whole formal meeting process, we have traditionally just rotated around and just taken turns taking one of those. I would like to propose that we continue with that process. I will also say, just as a personal favor, I have for a long time done the March, June, September, December cycle. And so if you guys are all right with that, I would volunteer for those four, and then I don't have to rework my internal calendar.
Those were the four I really, really wanted, but for you, Randy.
Once again, you're looking out for others. Are you guys okay with dividing up the other four? Or are there eight?
I think
Pamela just then rotated. You know, put on our calendar, she put on yours, and then mine what month, and then Jill, and if one of us couldn't make it, we said, hey, Randy. Want to go?
Yeah. Sure.
Because it's very convenient for me. Most months I can make it, even if I just know the day before.
So to help out, I'll just do January.
Okay.
And then Jill, February, March, and then let Pam figure it from there. Is that okay?
Yeah. Works great.
Okay. And yeah, we can always trade too. So.
Trade. No, you end up going.
Well, when I do that, I fill in because I like to keep my consistency. But that's like before opening that, I mean, you two can trade and, you know, scheduling so we can do that anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? And thanks for reminding me since.
Mm-hmm.
And the joke at the beginning was I thought this was yesterday. So I was running around like, okay, who's going? I know it's not my month, but I can go. And then it was pointed out to me, well, because the legislature didn't know it was going to adjourn, so it's the second week this time. Okay, anything else for scheduling? We are adjourned.